Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with my good pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder. Let's get all the I can't believes out of the way. I can't believe it's a new year. I can't believe we, I really can't believe we finished 17 regular season games and weeks. Which can you not believe more, Charlotte? I mean, we're in a new year. We're moving on with football. Lots going on. And there's another I can't believe, too, that we won our extra points for extra pay parlay. We did it, everyone. Our third win.
That's the one I'm most excited about. That was a personal victory. We needed that for morale. That was like, you know, the Jets heading into week 15 being like, we can't have this happen. And we really pulled it. We pulled it together and we won for the people.
Well, we did win for the people. We did well the first month, right? We won two in the first month of these parlays. And then it was a dry stretch, Dave. And then we won. We hit it. Let me just remind people, Ohio State, that was mine. Ohio State game to go over. That was Charlotte's. Dave started us off with Alabama Notre Dame game to go under. Wasn't even really close. We killed that parlay, guys. Good job by us. And the bettors won $1 million. I'm hearing close to $1 million on that parlay. Ooh. So,
fantastic. First of all, I guess it shouldn't be a big surprise. We are in the 21st year of the 21st century now. Mm. 21, everything's coming up winner, like at the 21 table. By the way, side note, good times with Cousin Sal at about 3:30 in the a.m. sitting at the 21 table over the years. And good times once again, sweating it out a little bit. But as you say, that's the shocker. It feels like it was, 2 weeks ago that these final four games were played after a Pro Football Sunday, the final of the 2020 season, ironically, but man, that was crazy stuff. And we can go talk about crazy. Obviously we'll talk about all the crazy Sunday stuff, but just very quickly, all the smarts, a season's worth of evidence, Justin Fields and company smoked Clemson.
They really did.
Craziness. That was wild. They whipped them.
Really did. It was, it's funny. Clemson went down and scored, and then Ohio State, like, had third and short. And I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be one of those. This is not even going to be close. Put up a fight here. And boy, did they ever. Fields, I mean, we'll get to it later. But he put up a monstrous body of work in response, I think, to Jets fans crying about not getting Trevor Lawrence and everything. Now it's a crapshoot. Now we don't know. And by the way, he could embarrass himself against Alabama and it could all change. But, for now, we have Alabama and we have Ohio State in the finals. Dave, I don't know if either side could take a victory lap with the Cincinnati getting in fourth or the Eddie Spaghetti's of the world validating Notre Dame getting the fourth spot. But I say, who cares? We got a good final.
Well, I care, and we don't need to debate it, I guess, for another, 9 to 11 and a half months from now. We can re-engage in the debate about the structure of the college football playoff. But in the meantime, I'm a dynasty guy. I love dynasties. Dynasties add context to the era in which we live. They provide the yardstick for all others to be measured by. So I'm all in favor of it. Getting a little weird in college football. It's all consolidated in 3.5-ish teams perennially. Yeah. That's getting to be a little weird when you talk about, well, there's the dynasty and there are 30 teams. There are 150 teams. We cannot perennially have it all wind up with the same three teams every year. It's going to be diminishing returns on that count. The other sourpuss remark I have is, whatever all this Final Four thing is and college football and everything else, the one thing I'll say is it did take from us one of the two or three great days on the sports calendar, New Year's Day. It's lost its mystique because it was so much better when you had five bowl games and it was all settled. All hash was settled within like an 18-hour window. You just can't beat that. But like I say, I don't want to get down.
All right, let's not get down.
We've moved past that. Now let's get another one of the great weekends on the sports calendar, Wild Card Weekend.
All right, so we'll get to the NFL in a second. I just want to recap our extra points for extra pay parlay. For the 17 weeks, I was 12-5. Dave was 10-7. Charlotte, as a newcomer, was a respectable 8-9. And we at least broke even at 3 wins at plus 500, plus 600 each. We at least broke even, and that's all any gambler wants. Some want to win, and then they get other issues. Yeah, they get greedy. They have other issues too. You got to have fun. You got to break even, and you got to move on. Now,
I'm counting it as 11-6 because I don't count that one with when they pulled Tua and then the Raider pulled Fitzpatrick's face mask and all that jive. That over doesn't count.
If we had won that, we would have been up like 6 or 7 units on the year. And that was a terrible beat. But like I said, we breezed through this one. Like not even a close one of the 3. Ohio State over and Alabama game under. Now, I was going to come on here and I wanted to congratulate the NFL. And I wanted to say I was wrong. I was going to be like, you know what? I was critical of the NFL after week probably 6 or 7-ish. I think you guys were with me. I'm like, they have to add a week. This is craziness with the COVID guidelines. But then I was thinking about it. I was like, they did a good job. It was out of greediness, but they got through it. They plowed through it. They didn't have to add a week. And once the Ravens got in, Dave and Charlotte, I felt nobody could really make a claim that they got screwed over. There was so much weird stuff with that Ravens-Steelers game, moving it days and days. And the AFC North and the Steelers especially took the brunt of that screw job. But whatever, they're home. They have a home game, the Steelers do. The Ravens got in. I'm okay with everything that happened. Denver wasn't making the playoffs. They had to start a kid who wasn't never meant to be a quarterback. That sucked. But for the most part, you want high-quality games, and you want the results to be fair, right? I think we got our high-quality games. We even saw that you don't need a preseason so much. Scoring was up. People don't maybe love that. I like it. And penalties were down. So the quality of the games was there. The fairness is there. And then we got to last night. And instead of burying that stupid Eagles Washington game, they put it right for everyone to see on NBC. And Collinsworth and Al Michaels were vomiting by the time it ended. Because not only was the game bad, as we thought, Alex Smith was immobile, as we see many, many quarterbacks, and the Eagles couldn't get out of their own way. Then the craziness of taking Jalen Hurts out after going for it on fourth down. You don't see many instances of tanking, but this was right up there. This was one of the few, and I hate the Giants, and I hate their fans more, but I felt for them, and I had like a sick feeling inside when I saw what the Eagles did, taking Hurts out. Starting putting Sudfeld in, you really need to know who your second string is. No, that's for preseason next year. Am I the only one that's so upset about this? I know I'm not because I've checked Twitter, but what the hell? How could they get away with this? Should they lose a draft pick? What should happen to the Eagles here? Something.
I have two main thoughts on this. The first is that it sucked. It sucked so much watching that, especially. If there are any Giants fans in your life who care about this, that was not a good showing. And it was just one of those things where it felt kind of helpless watching it. You were like, oh my God, they're really doing this. Like there's not even, it wasn't fun to watch even in a train wreck kind of way. Cause you were like, we know what's going to happen. There was no tension. There was no, it just totally deflated the whole thing. And it felt really rude. On the other hand, I do think that to play devil's advocate, this is the Eagles playing into a system that incentivizes this. Like, I hated it, but how can you expect Peterson not to think about the draft or about keeping Hurts healthy, which, I mean, is a generous read, a flimsy excuse at best, but and saying he needed to see Sudfeld because he deserved it because he tried. Like, all of that is garbage. But
yeah.
But the Eagles had nothing to gain by winning. So, and it screws with players' incentives. So it's rude to the Eagles and it messes with fans. And then for Peterson to say he had the audacity to say he was trying to win, it's just like the worst lie ever. However, why would the Eagles put their next year's team's self-interest behind the interest of helping the Giants, a division rival? Like it's easy to be mad at the Eagles, but it's also like the system Yeah. The system wasn't built for, like, what were they supposed to, you know? I don't know. I mean, and is sure, it the gentlemanly sportsmanlike thing in a league where sportsmanship is nothing?
I think it's the way it was set up, right? I think if they go into the game and say Sudfeld's our starter and Miles Sanders is sitting and we're going to sit everybody right. who we need to sit, then it's one thing. But when they're winning the game and then they have a chance to tie the game and then they go for it as if they're trying to win the game and then they decide, well, we no longer have interest in this game. That's where things get screwy. And again, I'm hearing it from a lot of people. Well, it's not just Doug Peterson. It's the front office. You think Doug Peterson makes this decision? Well, I happen to know. I know a few front office. 9 times out of 10, they're on the same page. So I could focus my vitriol towards Doug Peterson if I want. But Dave, did it bother you? I know you're not an Eagles fan by any stretch.
No, I mean, I have no beef with the Eagles. In fact, they were 2017's America's team before they won the Super Bowl. A few things. First of all, you commended pro football for getting through the season. I think the team that I feel like is the most screwed by all this is the Buffalo Bills. That they have this magical season, then they finally get over the hump, and they have to play on wild card weekend, and they have to play the Indianapolis Colts. Why not have just made it 8 weeks? Why not have had that extra layer of a week? But okay, that's not going to happen. But it kind of feels like that would... were the Chiefs demonstratively over the course of the season worthy of getting the week off and the Bills were not? I don't know.
Let's see how it plays out. They're a juggernaut right now. And if they truck everyone like they can, they should meet the Chiefs in the final. But let's...
Perhaps. But yeah. 19 of the last 22 Super Bowl representatives had a bye. And so this makes the Packers and Chiefs, and I kind of am rooting for both of those to breeze to the Super Bowl, just so it makes the point like this is a little bit too tilted in favor of whoever gets the number one seed. However, regarding the Eagles and the Giants, my sincere reaction is, I mean, I'd be PO'd if I was a Giants fan. And as it happens, we have at Extra Points and -3 star producer Eddie Spaghetti, who had a very rough weekend from Notre Dame leading into the
Eddie,
New York
are
Giants.
You here?
But let me just say something to you before he chimes in on any of this stuff. The thing that's great about it is, and yes, by the way, the pro football field, the sports field is not a court of law. And so people get confused by that. Like, but that guy committed a felony. And who cares if Pete Rose gambled on baseball? The integrity of the game, I'm not going to get up on Mount Pius about the integrity of the game. But the reason these commissioners sweat it out so badly is because it really will very quickly undermine the sport if there is a sense of like guys are doing things for ulterior purposes or entire teams are doing things and throwing games and everything else, the 1919 Black Sox and so on. That's why it's the same thing as the game show thing. Like who gives a crap if a game show is fixed? Well, as it happens when money is being exchanged, it's a serious thing. So my main takeaway though is at the end of it, as I process it all, is it's just marvelous for the rivalry. I love rivalries, and the Eagles and Gents. If you would have told me a decade ago, what's the biggest rivalry of the NFC East from an outsider, I would have said, well, it's the Cowboys against any of the other three teams. Right? The Cowboys are the most hated. No. Talk to any Giants, Eagles, DC, or Dallas fan. They'll say, like, yeah, I think the Eagles and Giants fans hate each other the most. That's the one. And
they're
now,
also closest in proximity, so it's easiest. You have the most opportunity to hate
each
other.
But this is a
weird thing. Great. It's hysterical. But it's outrageous, too.
But now there's a new rivalry between the Eagles and their own fans. Right. I mean, honestly, do you think the fans, if they were in the stadium there, would have put up with that? What the hell would that have looked like? They wouldn't know who to throw batteries at. They would just
You're
be nonstop.
You're so right that this is such a social media event because it's the perfect storm. I hadn't thought about that, Sal. You're so right. They would have booed the crap out of Doug Peterson.
Of course.
It would have played. But as Eagles fans looked at Twitter and saw how upset Giants fans were, now it's morphed into, this is the greatest. Look how mad the Giants fans are. I'm glad we did this. But they wouldn't have been happy at all.
Well,
it really isn't. It really was a crazy thing. And I wonder, like, what's the league exactly going to do about this? But you kind of can't.
We're used to it in basketball, right? Charlotte, not you, Charlotte, but the Hornets. In April, we'll lose by 30 to a team that like Denver that needs to win to make the play, whatever. And it's like, oh, well, that sucked. But our eyes are used to it. We're not used to it in a football game. We're certainly not used to Collinsworth and Michaels breaking down and being like, I don't know if this is right. I don't know.
They had an existential crisis.
These guys are paid to make the best of the game. Troy Aikman's of the world. They're like, Dallas can make some hay in the playoffs. You have to keep eyeballs on the screen, which I don't think is as necessary as it's been because people are gambling on the games. People have their fantasy players in games. We got you, Chris, Al, Troy. Good job, Tony Romo. But people are watching the games anyway. You don't have to go that crazy over the top anymore. But to go the other way with it, it really means that something weird has happened. Yes. And speaking of wild, Eddie, as Dave pointed out, you had a wild weekend. Notre Dame, I don't think you had too many high hopes for them. They lost. Then the Giants win. You're excited about that for a minute until the Eagles decide to play Nate Sudfeld.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a ton of faith at all, really, in Notre Dame. I was right and said they would cover, which they did. But yeah, yesterday was as bad as it gets, really, with the Giants game. My issue, and I don't care, Sal, you said it best about, just like not this thing I care about integrity. What I care about is like it now affects the outcome of another game. The Cowboys, your Cowboys played my Giants. Like what happens if Zeke went down with an ACL or Daniel Jones, broke a bone?
Yeah,
and then you're now essentially saying that game didn't matter if the Washington FT was going to come out with that performance anyway versus the Eagles who were laying down. Like it affects the outcomes of the game. So I had an issue with that. But weirdly enough, I think after going to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, as I kept replaying every single thing over my head, I think it actually does benefit the Giants. So going forward, it's not the worst thing in the world. The FT now is picking 19th at best if they get housed by Tom Brady in the Bucs. So they need a quarterback. Right. That screws them up. The Eagles are just a total mess right now. I mean, why you're going to put in Sudfeld when you had Jalen Hurts, who is the reason why you have an issue now with Carson Wentz? You're a very expensive quarterback. To me, it makes no sense. It's an awful excuse. And I'm sorry, Doug Peterson, we do not buy that. So they're in a bunch of turmoil. And really, I think, if the Dallas Cowboys could figure out the whole situation with Dak, the two best looking teams right now in the division are the Giants and the Cowboys. So I'm not entirely upset with it. You have the 11th pick, but it was just it was not a good way to end the game.
Boo! I want anger. I want frustration. I want you calling for blood.
Well, there's nothing I could do about it. I mean, like again, like Sal.
Well, I know there's nothing you could do about it.
They should have started Sudfeld from the start. Don't play Hurts. Don't put him in the fourth quarter after you try to go for the lead. And playing guys like, coming out and saying they played Darius Slay and they played, the other top Brandon Graham. Like, because
he was like, Ertz was out there. And I was like, no one.
He's the tight end too. It doesn't matter now. Goddard's the better player. It's a joke. I mean, they're a mess though. The Eagles. So I'm really happy about that they're locking their stoke.
I like there's nothing I could do about it. I kind of like that. I do.
Well, it's funny because it implies that as a fan, there's ever anything anyone can do about it.
I know. It's funny. If we can keep that in the back of our minds, we're good, right? For everything.
Last night on a text chain about all this, compared himself to Jon Snow. Jon Snow, the last line of defense against the White Walkers. What?
He's a handsome devil. I see the comparison a little bit. All right, Eddie, let me put things in perspective. When Wayne Gallman fumbled that ball, where he should have like taken a knee once he broke the tackle or whatever, as angry as you were there while they try to figure out whose ball it was, 100x for the Washington the debacle, what happened with Philly. That's how angry you should have been. I'm glad you're a sane person and you're okay with it now Monday morning, 12 hours later.
There's nothing he can do about it.
That's true. And then you realize there's nothing you can do about it.
besides, I can't do anything about it. And I don't think the Giants would have won versus the Buccaneers because they are playing pretty good football right now. But it would have been really fun to have Brady come to New York just for that narrative. And hopefully Leonard Williams would have got a couple good shots in on him. And but they still would have lost the game. And like I said, I think for the franchise, picking 11th is a lot better. So after hours and hours and hours of replaying it in my head of what could have changed or why the Eagles are the worst thing to happen to the NFL, I actually am okay with it now Monday morning.
All right. You should be out for blood.
Can I chime in as a Pats fan here?
Yeah.
I went full on. I got like really nihilistic and I was like, all I want is for the Giants to win so that they can knock Tom Brady out of the playoffs and we can, and like everybody can suffer. Like I just didn't, I couldn't, you know, and then I texted that to someone and they were like, can you reread that again and like go take a walk and think about some things? And I was like, no, I'm hurt and I'm lashing out and this is how I feel. So that's why I was pissed.
Well, let's take while we have Bucks and Brady and that Washington fiasco in our minds. Let's FanDuel has that line. That's a Saturday night game. The Bucks are a 7.5-point favorite. 45.5 is the over under over the Washington team. We talked about this game all year long. This is going to be the 4-5 matchup. Who's the lucky wild card team in the NFC that goes to the pathetic NFC East champions home and gets to play them? What's that line going to be between 7 and 10? There it is, 7.5. Charlotte, you're now used to it. 17 weeks with Tom wearing Tampa Bay colors.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a different situation for you seeing him win in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Or it is? Okay.
It's going to suck. It's going to be awful. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awful. Like yesterday, I saw, you know, he connects with Antonio Brown, and I hate it. It sucks. I don't know whether there are Pats fans out there who are honestly happy for him. I hope there are I feel abandoned. I feel it's not fun watching him succeed with another team. Are you kidding me? Like,
if there's a different level now that if he wins a playoff game with the team that's not the Patriots.
Yeah.
If
it would suck way more. Yeah. Even.
Right. I guess it would. Yeah,
it would suck, but there's. But wait, hold on.
Is there anything you could? Is there anything you do? Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, in this case, there is.
David,
we went for
the same joke. Sorry about that.
Let me say this. First of all, dreadful, dreadful. Representative of the NFC side of the ledger. The AFC side is juicy. I mean, every game is fascinating in Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah.
It's really hard to divine who's going to straight up win them, let alone look at the numbers on it. The NFC side is rubbish, represented by the terrible uniform matchup of the Buccaneers. I mean, that color clash is going to be hard to look at. But anyhow, I think it's what I think is really kind of intriguing about Brady and the Bucs is they were the Brady's move and everything else. You guys heard about that. It was the story of the offseason. And in a weird way, it's kind of a B story, a C story of the season, right? We've kind of gotten swept up in the resurgent Aaron Rodgers and wow, DK Metcalf, and look out for that team, and Alvin Kamara is dynamite and he's covering up the lack of Michael. All these stories, and it's kind of like, oh yeah, Tom Brady, what if he goes to the Super Bowl at 43? What if he really does that? What if it winds up that Tom Brady ends up still the biggest story? Because you can spin it how you want. He is not, that guy has not been the story of the season as we expected it to be. And yet, there's a real path for them. Now, I will say very quickly, devil's damage-checking all of this is the matchup makes the fight. And that front four of Washington, Tom Brady does not want that contact at 43. And so
right. This
that could
be
his
the
kryptonite.
Thing. We've seen him in the cold. We've seen him with happy feet. Maybe this is
he doesn't
this
want
is the
that.
Team
we
to
know
do it.
That. We know right. that. But on the other hand, if he wins, it's very likely, based on the seedings and the fraudulence of the lower seeds, that it's Brady at Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau right. in the divisional round. And then three words, ooh, la, and la. And also, eek for Aaron Rodgers, because that will be all the pressure on him. That will he'll be -7 with old man Brady rolling in, -6. Well, let's see what they
right
do to Washington. But
see, I think it takes over. I think there's a swell and the tide turns towards Brady then. I think that's where Rodgers sneaks in under the radar there. If you have Tampa at Green Bay, I think this Tampa team is for real. And they mean business, and they go to Green Bay and Lambeau. That's it, David. The AFC, vastly better games this week. But if you can get to that second round without upsets, you got Russ against Breeze, and you got Brady against Rodgers.
Go away, Bears. No one wants it. Go away, Washington. Cute story with Alex Smith and everything. Right. But we don't.
There's no
one
way
wants
those
it.
Guys actually make it through, though. There's, I mean, it could, there could be some fluke, but I just don't see.
I know. I was thinking that between everything with upsets and COVID, like, how do you keep that slate pristine? How do you do it? What do you do with COVID anyway? Do these guys practice at all this week?
There's nothing.
Should they
you
stay
can do.
Home? No, but do they stay home? Do they even
practice
once? You're
going to be sick of that joke in 11 minutes.
I love it. Is there anything?
There's
do
nothing
you
we
practice
can do
at all? Aaron Rodgers said, they said, what do you have? What message do you have for your team after he beat the Bears? And he said, don't get COVID. And that's
he said
it.
That?
He said it. And it's a joke. It's, you know, it sounds funny, but God damn it. That's the only
seriously,
thing.
Seriously, don't get COVID.
That's it. Stay home. But then what do they do? Do they not practice this week? I guess it doesn't matter. I don't know. To get one
well,
or two practices
I mean,
in.
Listen,
you just put everybody in a hermetically sealed bubble and like put them in storage for a week and then.
Honestly, I know what
Patrick
you're getting
Mahomes
at, Sal.
Screws us up. Like,
I
so
know what you're getting at
COVID.
And fine, I'll talk about it. The Steelers got screwed again by COVID. Now, Joe Hayden is not going to get the play, but because it's on Sunday rather than Saturday, the Browns do get Denzel Ward back. And right. So that flip is not insignificant in this matchup in Pittsburgh. But if you want to stay on the AFC, NFC side, we can.
Let's jump to your game. Pittsburgh -3.5 over Cleveland. That's the Sunday night, a Sunday night playoff game. That is fun. That's fun. That's not a Super Bowl. I mean, we have not seen that, right? Pittsburgh -3.5 over Cleveland, 46.5 is the over under. Very weird stuff now with this Steelers team. They could have not, well, I guess they wouldn't have knocked the Browns out, right? Because the Dolphins had lost. So even had the Steelers lost, the Browns would have been in. Am I wrong
I'll
about
tell
that?
You,
I think that's right.
One thing that is almost bulletproof solid is that if I speculate about if this team loses and that team wins, this is the result. I'm going to be wrong about how it seeds out. I'm bad at math.
The AFC was just so crazy. It was just, I have a chart in front of me.
I think they would have. I don't know. I think that they would have put the Browns out.
The Browns?
Maybe not. I think they put the Browns out, though. I think I'm pretty sure because the
this
Colts
is the chart
Titans,
I was staring at all night
perfect,
with the
perfect.
AFC.
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
It.
There's a whole computer. There are computer systems that will solve this for you as well. But yeah, I still fail with those. So, but anyway, I think that because the Titans and Colts both won, I think the Browns would have been out.
I think you're right.
Maybe I'm wrong.
So this is what we're looking at. If Buffalo had won, they did. If Baltimore had won, they did. Tennessee, Indy wins, and Pittsburgh wins. Yes, Miami would have gotten the 7th seed.
You talk about neighborhood bully versus, you know, global one. No, nobody was talking about that. I just brought it up. But the older I get, and maybe it makes me turning into a bitter old man, things would have to go so perfectly for the Steelers to win the Super Bowl. I kind of am reacting to the sure thing a little bit. If they could have knocked the Browns out of the playoffs with Mason Rudolph starting in Cleveland, boy, that would have been funny as hell. That would have been really funny. If they would have rallied from 14 or whatever they were down, and they 14, if they would have pulled that rally off and beaten the Browns and knocked them out of the playoffs with everything going for Cleveland the way it was 2 weeks ago and they were in the playoffs by everyone's evaluation, if they would have blown it by losing to the Jets and then Mason Rudolph, oh, how we could have laughed about that, even though I think it would have meant the Colts at Pittsburgh, and I wouldn't want that matchup.
That's what it would have meant. 3-6 would have been
but
Colts,
it still would have kind of been Pittsburgh. Worth it just to get
I
the Browns
stand
out
up
of there.
For the Browns
funny.
For a second.
You would have done the Bills a favor because they would have had to play the Dolphins, which is the worst
correct.
Team. But yeah,
right.
Go ahead, Charles.
And now they're
I
in
think
trouble.
We got,
but go
I
ahead.
Think, look, the Browns, they're in the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. Mm-hmm. For you, Dave, maybe it would have been funny. For so many people, it would have been so much more heartbreak. They've earned this. They need something good. You can't be that selfish to start off 2021. Let the Browns have this.
No, I don't want to. Listen, fine, as long as this is where it ends. I mean, if they win on Sunday night, now, you see, Charlotte, what I'm trying to do is protect against the true devastation, the true apocalypse,
is
which
if
is
the
losing,
Browns beat you on Sunday.
Losing a playoff game to the Browns. That's where it really gets sideways. Fine, I don't care. Let the Cleveland, I have Browns fans, pals. Good for you to make the playoffs. It's another matter if you come into Pittsburgh with now.
You're the one who said that you think that, you know, now Giants Eagles, it sets it up for a great rivalry. Nothing would ignite a rivalry more than the Steelers versus the Browns.
But that's the point. This has never been a rivalry.
But
that's
the Ravens could be
the start of one.
Right, that's why I don't want it. Now, that's why I don't want that. That's why I want to avoid it. Okay. However, let me say this to you. I think, as I said earlier, the team that really got screwed out of this new 7-team playoff thing is the Bills more than any other team out there. And I really think that the Bills play the Colts with the way Jonathan Taylor's going now. That's the one out of the three. I mean, I'm nervous Brown Steelers, obviously, for the black and gold purposes. I feel like the Ravens are going to take care of the Titans this year, not because of revenge or anything else. I think the Ravens are rolling. They're getting healthy at the right time. And it's not as much about Lamar Jackson in the offense. It's about the defense. I know I'm a broken record about that, but I really, really don't think that the Chiefs want to see the Ravens in the divisional round in Arrowhead. And it could possibly go that way. However, I also could see the Colts going into Buffalo and knocking them off. Man, that is a tough draw for the wild card weekend.
The AFC
is
good. Every matchup is good in the AFC. Yeah. There's no denying that. I am not going to pick the Colts over the. I'm terrified of the Colts, and also I want to bet against them because I see they get like 30, 40 minute stretches where they're just like, oh my God, what is this team doing? This looks like a 5-win team, but you're right. Playoff built Jonathan Taylor. They seem to get out of the gates early, good, winning, beating everybody, and then something weird happens. I'm not giving up on the Bills. I think they are the team to beat. I fight with Chiefs fans about this. I think right now they're the team to beat. They're plus 750 to win the Super Bowl. They're laying 7 points
home
in that Shakey's game. What are the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl? They're plus 220. So the Chiefs are plus 220 heading into this playoff. Green Bay plus 480. Bills, like as I mentioned, plus 750. New Orleans plus 750. Tampa 10-1. And Baltimore 11. Seattle 13-1. Then it gets a little wide. But
the back end of the Bills defense can turn over Phil Rivers, and they're going to have to. I kind of think, do they have enough at pass rush? The Bills are a great story, and even in the QB league, and even though we saw the Chiefs with that overwhelming generational offense, that they were able to survive and win the Super Bowl last year. But I know it's lame to say, it's an old man thing to say, but really, which are the teams that have the really potentially dominant defenses? And I know we've seen the Colts, you know, be had in recent games here, but I like the way that defense is constituted. They could get on a run with Jonathan Taylor. But it is the story oldest time. If you can grind the team on the ground and turn them over, I kind of like that Colts team a lot. I could see that.
I do too. I think they got the bad draw. They obviously got the bad draw going to Buffalo. That's the Shakey's game, Dave. I predicted the Shakey's game. To me, that's the most exciting thing I could do. Predict the Shakey's game. That's
the
game.
What's the Shakey's game?
The Shakey's game now.
Oh.
Our West Coast Fantasy League would... we would turn over the trophy when there was a trophy. We would settle our
Dave
finances.
Wrecked it in his car.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's what he says. Who knows?
It's but we mine would go to do Shakey's. With what I please. It's in my house every year for the last decade already.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know. You want to be accurate?
I don't know where it is, but it's mine to do with what I please is the point.
Shakey's
mind your P's and Q's.
Terrible.
Don't make this a bad offseason.
It's a dive Pittsburgh. They're all dive. It's a dive pizza restaurant here in Hollywood. And the one in Hollywood is especially sketchy. And yet, even though we're of decent means, we choose to go to Shakey's for the mojo potatoes and just for the, we have John Hamm at the Shakey's. It's ridiculous.
Well, the reason is because in Hollywood, the Shakey's has that sign.
As the market,
it's like, happy birthday, happy 8th birthday, Devin. Like, you see that. It's like, that's a great thing is you can put up congratulations to the champ on the Shakey board outside. It's a lure.
Right. We have news to mention in a second. But yes, that's where we go, Charlotte, to watch the first playoff game every year. And it's usually the worst game. They try to make it the AFC South winner if they can. Matt Schaub. Andy Dalton has played in this game many times, but this year it's a good one. Buffalo at Indianapolis. All right, Charlotte's got breaking news.
The Chargers fired Anthony Lynn.
Come on.
According to Eddie Spaghetti, he said that to everyone in the chat.
Hold on, Eddie, is there anything we could do about it or it's too late? They already gave him, he packed the stuff. It's over, huh?
There's nothing Anthony Lynn could do about saving his job. And nothing that I could do personally either.
All right. I
failed you, Lynn.
Do we know anything else? Is there any more information?
I'm not surprised. I feel bad, but I'm not surprised.
I feel bad for him.
I knew you would feel bad, but they've won four. Something told me. I'm like, oh shit. When this news breaks, Charlotte's going to feel bad.
Charlotte's going to feel bad.
And then what the hell do we do? He won four in a row, right?
Yeah.
To end the season. He lost some miserable games. Miserable, like crazy ass games that you've never would imagine anyone losing. Is there a Hard Knocks jinx? I guess it's all a Hard Knocks jinx, right?
Well, so the last Hard Knocks, Chargers, the Rams as well.
He should have lost his shirt.
Mm.
So McVay is safe. Who was it? Browns last year, or am I getting all?
3 years ago.
Kitchens got fired after that. Oh, Raiders. Yeah. Oh, John Gruden kept his job, so.
It was Raiders, right?
Last Antonio year. Brown, all that.
Right, yeah. There's always a character from it.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Not necessarily the coach, but Antonio Brown had the jinx before collecting on a bonus yesterday, thanks to Tampa. But anyway, yeah, back to, that's interesting with Anthony Lynn.
It's not a surprise. No, it's not. Maybe you would have saved it, right?
Yeah, they'd save it, and also who's going to replace him.
Today's Black Monday.
Now. That's the whole thing.
Let me say this to you because it's retroactive and there's no way you can tell me I'm wrong, even though Chiefs fans will not like me saying this if they care at all about it since it's retrospective. I think that even if the Chiefs would have tried in week 17, I think that Chargers team would have beaten them. And I think Bills and Steelers fans should be really frustrated that at some point as they drag their feet to the finish line, the Chiefs, it's a shame they didn't lose one more game, that Falcons game in week 16 didn't go the Falcons way to force the Chiefs to try to win that number one seed. I think it would have further exposed that they're very good. Obviously 15 and the weapons he has around them are mighty and they're still the prohibitive favorite. But if you would have had them have to play in wild card weekend, boy, the AFC then becomes even juicier. I really do think that Justin Herbert, I think whoever lands in that spot, people love to do around this time of year, which team would you most want to take over for if you were offered all the head coaching gigs? It's the Chargers, and it's because of Justin Herbert, right?
Well, not the Jets. You wouldn't want the Jets. You wouldn't want Atlanta.
Do you want Justin Fields? Do you want to take over with Justin Fields there? Or do you want to take over for Sam Darnold? And if they take Penny Sewell to go on the other side of Beckton, then all of a sudden you have these two towers protecting the franchise.
I look at the rest of the division. I think the Bills are the shit for a while now, just like the Patriots were. So that's what's tough with this. The Chargers, that's the job. That's the good job to have.
By the way, I keep saying this where Herbert's concerned.
They can get a wild card. Yeah.
People like to, excuse me, he's just a rookie. There's plenty of time for Tua to turn it around. Mm-hmm. Fair. Is there anyone who wants to stand up right now for Tua over Herbert, though? Tua has plenty of time to turn his career around, obviously, and be great and everything else. But at this very moment, is there anyone who is straight up, like you can have one of these two QBs, you would definitely take Herbert. And I think you'd take Herbert over Burrow as well at this point.
Yeah, it's close between Herbert and Burrow. And Tua is a distant third if they're going to baby him like they were. I have people saying, like, what's the matter? I thought he was a great college quarterback. I'm like, yeah, he would scramble on third and mid-range. Like, he doesn't run. He doesn't use his feet. I don't know what that hip injury is more, prominent that we want him. Mm-hmm. They're babying him. They're protecting him. But this is not the guy they drafted. No way. And I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it again. Flores can't win coach of the year.
No way. They got shamed. They got destroyed that they had to have.
McDermott, right? Bills McDermott. You could say Stefanski. Yeah, I like McDermott here. I don't know. But yes, if you have a chance to make the playoffs and your team allows 56 points to a team that's kind of trying but not really, you can't win coach of the year.
Spaghetti wants to give it to Joe Judge. I want to give it to Mike Tomlin. I mean, that for over the 2-year body of work. you know, I mean, if they had knocked the Browns out of the playoffs, it then becomes very interesting. If the Steelers are 13-3 and they just eliminated Kevin Stefanski's team, Coach Tomlin kind of would deserve some buzz if Mason Rudolph got over on that.
But yeah, anyway. Maybe. And you always make the case for Andy Reid, although I think post foggy windshield face shield, I think he didn't do a great job. Right before then, I think he was right in line to win them. But once he went to like the Speedo version of the mask, whatever he did, things weren't great. Chiefs.
I know we have a lot to talk about, but these things are fun to speculate on. I'll start with you, Sal. Best Super Bowl matchup. What's the best Super Bowl?
Right now?
Yes.
Cowboys?
No, in 4.5 years. Yes, in 3 or 4 weeks.
The best game or the most exciting? The best game might not be.
I don't know how you want to measure that.
It might not be
leading up or.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is boring, but I think the one seeds would be the best game. I think Packers and Chiefs.
I want Packers Bills.
But yeah, I mean, that's good, too. I want to put a little money on that. But
that's the fan base bowl. That's
the fun one. That's a fun game.
That's the one where you root for, like, although then it would be sad if the Bills lost to the Packers. But those two fan bases are comprised of delightful people. So
yeah, but you can't beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl as a storyline.
No, how many times do we have to tell that same story? It would be. I mean, I'm telling you,
you can't
though,
beat it in Tampa. The game would be in Tampa.
If the Bills beat Brady. Why am I like this? I feel ugly. I feel ugly.
What?
Well, because you're raw. Because the Sonic Award for the sports town whose fans suffered the most in the calendar year, of course, went to Boston in 2020. Mm. There were so many, and then Zdeno Chara kicks off the new year by moving to Washington D.C. Everyone's ditching town. Tom Brady ditched. Mookie Betts ditched. The Boston teams all sucked.
Dave? What's yours then? Best Super Bowl.
I mean, Steelers against anyone. What do you mean? Steelers against Washington. Revenge game for what?
Hold on. I thought we weren't talking 4 years from now. I thought you said this year.
That's true.
All right. Real quick.
Who would you most like the Steelers to face?
I'd love for the Bills. I mean, listen, I'd love to see the Bills win a Super Bowl. Their fans deserve it. I mean, Browns and Jets and whatever. But I mean, the Bills lost 4 straight Super Bowls. If you were alive and rooting for the Bills and then you go into a long stretch of darkness. I mean, I don't know what's caused more pain to a fan base than the last quarter century, 30 years, than those Bills fans have suffered. I guess, like you say, though, yeah, you're right. So Russ against Allen, you can almost not screw it up.
All those
go away Bears, go away Washington,
NFC
go away Titans. Yeah. I know people like the Titans. I'm not an enthusiast about them. Any other teams aside from the three I just named, makes for a juicy Super Bowl. If the Browns get there, it's great. If Phil Rivers gets there, it's wonderful.
Browns. Jim Cunningham, I'd like you to clip that the last 30 seconds where Dave is saying, if the Bills, they deserve a Super Bowl for when the Bills beat the Steelers next weekend, whatever that is. And he's beside himself. We're going to remind him that this is the desired result.
Listen, let me just make something clear. I declared them America's Team 2020. You know that. I ride with the Buffalo Bills. However, when push comes to shove, black and gold over red, white, and blue. That's how I'm built. That's how I'm wired. Apology, not coming.
All right. So, Jim, again, before the push comes to shove comment, that's the one we want to clip where we said he declared it. When is John Wolford going to get his Super Bowl? Right? The Rams?
True. Amen.
Want to go over a couple of these real quick. Rams are a 4.5-point underdog to the Seahawks. 42.5 is the over-under. This is the Saturday afternoon affair. Dave, I said I didn't want to see this again. Let the Saints play one of these teams or something. I don't want to see this.
You were right.
Game 3 of this, and especially with both teams not at full strength, although the odds makers, FanDuel, said, we don't care who's starting. We're hanging a 4.5 on this. Doesn't matter. Wolford, Goff. You guys sort that out by week's
Wolford
end.
Or Jared Goff playing with JPP's hand. I mean, it's either way. Yeah. Listen, I like round 3 in the playoffs because, there's no secrets between these two teams. It's whoever executes and all that kind of jive. But it's the Rams.
Let them both
the
win to
not
get
exciting,
there. Right.
I mean, and also, that's another thing as we launch into these playoffs. a team that everybody loves to watch year in and year out because of Russell Wilson, everything. What's going on with the Seahawks? Like, why are they not good anymore? Why can their offense not do anything? It's a little weird. I'd be more excited about the NFC side.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Let's not go to sleep on Russ because maybe he can turn
it but on. We've seen now Jalen Ramsey shuts down DK Metcalf. So, and it seems like some other teams are now being able to do it. So, yeah, I don't care to see a 19-16 game between those two again.
In my defense about saying I like Seahawks Rams in the playoffs, the other matchups stink too. Bears? That's who the Saints draw. The football gods have smiled on Drew Brees.
Well, Arizona, I mean, people love Tua. People are taking flyers on Tua and Kyler Murray in the Super Bowl and Kyler Murray MVP and all this other stuff. And those teams didn't even make the playoffs. But that's what happened. Kyler Murray crumbled. The Arizona crumbled. Cliff Kingsbury crumbled, lost to some bums at the end of the year, and they couldn't make the playoffs. But Charlotte, you were going to say...
Oh, this is a very important point that I think Wolford looks like he belongs in Mumford & Sons. Like Wolford & Sons. He looks like a sort of folk, not quite indie, too mainstream...
Let me see.
This. Producer Jim Cunningham's younger hipster brother.
Oh, is that right?
No,
even hipper brother.
No, oh, Charlotte well, doesn't. She
well,
doesn't
Charlotte
want
knows
come.
The whole family. Obviously, she's been introduced. You have to do that.
Wait a minute. He had a LinkedIn page or something. We made fun of it.
Yeah,
on
he was
Fox
taking. He was studying for accounting.
Right.
He was taking accounting classes.
Oh wow! All right. So let's see. You're saying Wolford and Sons. Oh, now I can't. Oh yeah,
his
a
name's
little bit.
Jim's younger hipper brother is named Grayson. And they met at an Easter brunch, you know, when they announced the big news, when the families all got
together
for the first
you
time
love
and ate
Grayson.
Oysters together.
You love the Grayson. Yeah.
Grayson.
Jesus. What? A,
where did Grayson come from?
The
I had
narrative
no idea.
I didn't see coming in 2020 was that I would be engaged to a guy in a Hurley shirt from a meme. So
hey, the heart wants what it wants.
I actually knew that was coming. I didn't want to
did
blow
you?
It for
I wish
it.
You
yeah, I didn't want to mention
me.
It. Nah, no. Some
would have been
are
nice.
Better
would have been nice, Sal.
We're going to hit all these games as the week goes on. We hit the Bucs, Seahawks, Bills, Pittsburgh, we talked about. New Orleans, 9.5 over Chicago. That seems to be a mess. That would be the team. I've just lost so much money on New Orleans in the past, in the playoffs, in the dome, that I don't want to touch it. And I don't know that Trubisky could keep up with Breeze when he's at his best. But I'm not buying it Monday before the week anyway. The weird thing though is, and Dave, you love this Ravens team. We touched on it a little bit. They're a 3.5-point favorite at Tennessee, over under 54.5. I'm with you that Tennessee, maybe they get by this game, but I don't think they win two in a row with this defense.
Of all the team, I know, I think the biggest chasm between collective wisdom and Dave is that the Titans are a dangerous team because of what they did a full year ago. They have no defense. They just cannot run the table. They cannot win three games in the mighty AFC and get to a Super Bowl. I get that obviously Derrick Henry's doing remarkable stuff, and off of that play action, Ryan Tannehill looks good, and A.J. Brown is a rugged, rugged pass catcher and all that, but they just have no defense. Where are they going with that? I think the Ravens are going to beat them up, and maybe there is, I don't know, Pro Football Players. There's some revenge factor. Your pal Jeff Schwartz was saying that I'm surprised by the road team that the Ravens are giving 3.5. Not me. I mean, I know.
I think it's a little rich. I think the Ravens are a little rich.
It's imperfect. It's imperfect to be a pro football team in the 21st century whose kryptonite is, hey, they can't come from behind. I agree. That's bad. But as long as the Titans don't jump them and get up 14-0, as long as they can avoid that legitimate possibility, I think the Ravens beat them by a touchdown.
Mm. It's not like basketball where it's tough to, you know, it's like you're going to go to the opposing team's home and beat the best player on the floor. It's what it feels like with Derrick Henry. The guy does not slow down. We'll talk about him in a minute, but over 2,000 yards. They could have made this a running back's year and given MVP to Derrick Henry, 2K plus, and offensive rookie of the year to Jonathan Taylor, who just lit it up towards the end, but it's not going to be that. I do want to talk about, you guys need to listen up. I don't know if anyone's been listening. right up to now, but they should start now because I have the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. It's called the Same Game Parlay Bet, only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. The Same Game Parlay lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the wild card round. You can combine the money line, the over-under, and all player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you place a Same Game Parlay risk-free. All FanDuel customers, you can get up to $10 back on your bet if you don't win. Playoffs are a perfect time to give it a shot. Just one of the many ways you can win on FanDuel. Hit us up, FanDuel.com/extra points, so they know we sent you. Yeah, you could take the Ravens. You could take the over in that game and Lamar Jackson to score a touchdown to run one in. And you would get close to like 10-1 odds, I think, for something like that. There you go, FanDuel.com/extra points. Hit your Same Game Parlays. Get $10 back, win or lose. I want to talk MVP real quick because we discussed, I just said Derrick Henry over 2,000 yards. It's still Aaron Rodgers. I made a mistake. I screwed up. I said this was Mahomes' trophy to win. I said 4 weeks ago, I said he has to play one more week and that's it. All they did was win, 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 but he did not put up the numbers necessary according to the odds makers because Aaron Rodgers is minus 400. Does anyone have a problem with that? Or does Mahomes sneak in? Or does Tom Brady, who had 1,056 yards in the last 2 weeks, 40 touchdowns, 4,600 yards, I bet he gets some votes. What do you guys think?
I don't think that's enough for what Brady did. I don't think the past 2 weeks of what Brady did, as impressive as it's been, is as impressive as how consistent Rodgers has been. I mean, he has 48 touchdown passes this season, fifth most in a season in NFL history, and any other player with 48 or more all won MVP that season. It just feels like he's been quietly out there absolutely destroying everybody and doing it regularly, almost to the point so well that, like, I think we pay attention on some level, or at least I started to Tom Brady's amazing numbers the past 2 weeks because they hadn't been that way. But Rodgers is just like very consistent. He had one fall apart against the Bucs. And other than that, I do think that Derrick Henry's, it would be very cool if they gave him MVP. I still think he's been if you're doing it by value, like value to a team, the Titans would not be anywhere near where they are without Derrick Henry. Granted, Packers wouldn't be either, but I don't know. If you're ever going to give it to a running back, give it to Derrick Henry this year.
I mean, absolutely. That's and Dave, we keep waiting for him to slow down. He's like it's a workhorse, right? He's pulling double shifts every week.
He just gets better as the games go on. Like, as a game goes on, he gets better instead of getting tired.
As the game goes on, as it gets colder, it's crazy what he's doing.
I think the hero value of what he did when they needed to get the game, obviously, you're watching, that was old school Colts, or like, oh, it's a tight game against Jacksonville. And by the way, what if an otherwise pretty good season for Phil Rivers and the Colts, what if it was bookended by losses to Jacksonville in week 1 and week 17 to eliminate them from the playoff? That would have been dark stuff. But anyhow.
I had the friggin' Colts. I was nervous. I had them on every money line parlay. The Jacksonville had nothing to play for. Robinson was out. They had, I guess they had the number one pick locked up so they could try to win, but that was scary as shit. Towards the end, down 2014 with the ball.
These big backs, like we've talked about, are extra effective counterintuitively in the 21st century because of the sub packages defenses are throwing out there, which allows for Derrick Henry to create those highlight reel, shove defensive backs down to the ground, grown men kind of stuff. And like I say, 250 yards with your playoff lives on the line is a heroic deed that shall be remembered for many moons in the state of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Also, though, as Charlotte kind of hints at, is Aaron Rodgers' season, does it rank in the top, like, legitimately half dozen or so greatest quarterback seasons of the Super Bowl era? 1984 Marino, 2011 Aaron Rodgers. I always forget which one it is for Manning, but I think it's 2012 or 2013 would probably be up there. Maybe Brady the year that they went undefeated in the regular season. But Aaron Rodgers maybe is the first guy to have two nominees for the greatest single season by a quarterback of the Super Bowl era. Everything tilted in favor of the quarterback. Remember where we were going into this season. Man, the Packers didn't help Rodgers at all.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't give him a receiver. And yes, they did lean on the running game to allow for Rodgers to get off. But I mean, what he and Davante Adams did this year.
He and LaFleur hate each other. He hated Brad. He can't look at Jordan Love on the sideline. Yeah.
Robert Tonyan, for goodness sakes. Remember, who makes players around him better? That people love talking about that stuff. People love talking about Tom Brady with that kind of stuff. Look at what he did for Robert Tonyan.
Well, here's the other thing I'm surprised you're not bringing up. This back to, I mean, he's got an all-pro lineman out, and it does, I don't want to say it doesn't seem to matter, but he really, more than anybody else, knows how to play around it. Assuming the Bears were playing their hardest, and I think they were, and that's a tough defense to begin with.
He's one of the quarterbacks who, at 36, he's not, you know, up there with Brady or Breeze, but you know, you look at these guys where Eli Manning looks more and more like the smart one for sort of getting out when he did. And you look at Rodgers, who doesn't seem to be quite as hindered by an inability to move, or like he's not sort of falling apart yet in the way that some of these other guys are. So, you know, I think that in itself is also impressive, how long he's been in the league and adapting to these new defenses and offense, you know. I really kind of hope that he gets MVP, which is strange because I also really hope Derrick Henry gets MVP, but I kind of know that Derrick Henry won't get MVP. So like, let's just go with Rodgers. But I do think what he's been doing is super impressive, especially for how long he's been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a Mount QB, Aaron Rodgers is kind of right at the peak, and on either side, on one side, sit Roethlisberger and then the guys older than him, Breeze and Brady. And then on the other side, the guys who can run a little bit and otherwise, Russell Wilson is right next to Aaron Rodgers up there.
Right.
It feels like the old guard versus the old guard versus new guard of these playoffs. It all comes to a head with Aaron Rodgers and what he does. This could be the last and final shot of the old guard QBs, whether it is Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger, or Rodgers. But if Rodgers can get over just this once and win the Super Bowl against Mahomes or otherwise, I think it stops the Mahomes is going to go down as the greatest quarterback of all time. And it also raises the possibility, especially if Rodgers beats Brady in a playoff game, then do we leave? Are we in mid-February and beyond? Are we talking about Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback of all time? I think that we could very well 6 weeks from now be talking about that.
It's tough.
He showed it. He's the best.
Tough to topple Tampa's six right there. But potentially. The thing that gets me is these guys, whether it's Brady or Rodgers, the old guard, the changing the guard, I think they have at least 3 years left.
I agree.
Right?
I think that I wouldn't be shocked if Brady won the Super Bowl next year.
Right.
Like, that's how I don't think he's slowing down the way I want him to slow down.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Slow down for Charlotte. I think those are the new shirts to rival the Savenge shirts.
Print them.
All right. Hey, let's take a water break, guys. You know, we could talk about MVPs. We have our own personal MVPs. Crown Royal back doubling down on its responsible drinking commitment and bringing the Crown Royal water break to even more sports this year, with the help of sports NFL royalty and 15-time All-Star MVP and NBA champion Kevin Garnett. This year, Crown Royal wants to remind fans how important it is to keep their beloved community institutions and small businesses open in partnership with the Main Street Alliance. Crown Royal is giving back to help preserve important places, including those that can make our sports community special. Please join their efforts and be sure to crown your sports bar. And we are now going to take our Crown Royal Athletes of the Week. My Crown Royal Athlete of the Week, Justin Fields. We talked about him earlier. Ohio State quarterback goes out there, puts a hurting on Clemson. 22 of 28, 385, 6 touchdowns, adds 42 yards rushing. All we heard was, Jets fans crying because they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence now. They have the backup plan, Justin Fields. He's like, back up my ass. Watch what I do. I'm going to hang 6 touchdowns on Clemson's defense. Clemson was a 7-point favorite, but no, not to be. And now there's talk about Urban Meyer getting that Jacksonville position. Maybe if he gets Jacksonville position, he drafts Justin Fields. We saw them. He was, he was like kind of like sly sitting in the crowd there watching things go. Maybe he takes Justin Fields. Maybe the Jets get their wish. They get Trevor Lawrence. Maybe Trevor Lawrence doesn't even come out. That would be funny, too, for the Jets. But Justin Fields is my Crown Royal Athlete of the Week. Charlotte, What about you?
My Crown Royal athlete of the week is a coach, and it's Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator. He's been the top guy for a while now in terms of OCs, but he's really the top guy now because there are a bunch of teams who need a head coach. And so far, two teams have requested, well, as of an hour ago, this could have changed by now, have requested interviews with him, which is the Falcons and the Lions. We just, you know, the Jets fired Gase. We just found out that Anthony Lynn is out at the Chargers. And I just think that the best possible scenario would be if the NFL turn this into sort of like The Bachelor, like make Bieniemy the Bachelor, and then owners have to woo him. And each week he dismisses a different one. You know, he's like, Arthur B, I'm sorry, this just isn't going to work. I don't trust your ability to hold on to a lead. And I think it could make some really compelling television and add a little spice to the head coaching search.
All right. I like that. Dave?
Well, if Bieniemy's a man of fashion, he'll choose the Chargers, of course, because they who could beat that delicious powder blue?
He doesn't get to wear the uniform, Dave. He would just be on the sideline.
Let's change that for 2021, too. If it's good enough for baseball skippers, it's good enough for pro football head coaches. Speaking of football, I got to give a shout out to football for always being there for us in the worst, in the darkest of times. You go back to school, the sky is falling, summer's over. At least you got football. And then, yeah, I got to go back to school after a wonderful holiday break, and you're in the dead of winter, and what's the point of any of it? The playoffs. That's why you live. They give you something to look forward to. The people I feel bad for are people who don't like sports, because that's what sports gives you, something to look forward to. You know what, though? I have to look back very quickly, because back at the start of December, as Washington's defensive front started to emerge, I said for them really to become legendary, iconic, they need a good nickname. I threw out, the D-State, I thought would be fun. The first round foursome, a tip of the hat to the fearsome foursome from the LA Rams. But I settled on Maroon 4. And so, much to my surprise, watching that bum game of Washington and Philly on Sunday night, what did I hear the play-by-play icon Al Michaels say? Take a listen.
You have to beat those four guys. Call them the Maroon 4.
Wow.
Al,
did
Michael,
you do that, Dave?
Do you believe in miracles? I do now, Al. I do now. Thanks to you. I love it. Al Michaels picked up what I'm laying down. Just consider it all downhill from here because I have peaked. Thank you, Al Michaels. And thank you, Maroon 4.
Thank you for listening to this podcast, Al Michaels.
By the way, who the hell knew he would listen to as a listener?
Let
me
tell you, I'm for real. Let me say for real. Uh-oh. The math is pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. I do think that Washington, Al Michaels and Chris Collins were sit with the Washington PR people. I tweeted this at Washington. It's not like nobody picked it up. Uh-oh. I think Washington said, they said, what do you think of this defensive front? Like, I bet you the Washington PR people were like, some people are calling it Maroon 4.
Ooh,
some people are saying
that. Oh, poor Dave.
Poor Dave, delusional.
He's delusional. I think you need to take him. Take a water break. Splash some water on your face.
You think 97-year-old Al Michaels came up with that gem on his own? No way. Wake up.
I think he's a huge Maroon 5 fan.
Dave, just take, it could be
Didn't
that.
They
just
play the Super Bowl once? He knows
You know
who
how
they are.
I know he doesn't know that he wouldn't know that reference on his
they
own?
They played the
it's because
Super
he called it the Maroon 4.
That's all fine. Well, he has to make it a little different. Yeah, it's
Grayson
wasn't
Cunningham.
Wasn't that the one in Atlanta in 2018? Am I making that up? Adam Levine?
What?
It was Maroon 5. They played the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah. Oh, so you're
so
saying
what?
That's
so I'm saying
so
Al Michaels
know.
Knows who Maroon 5 is.
Potentially.
But he called it the Maroon 4, which means he doesn't. Grayson Cunningham doesn't know who pop bands are, and neither does Al Michaels.
Oh, my God.
Is that gonna? But Maroon 5, in a related note, is going to be singing the first song of the wedding. I don't know. I blew it.
Oh, Jim and John. Oh, that'd be nice. Grayson's the best man.
He's gonna.
I think you should be allowed to sell. Do you believe in miracles? T-shirts alongside this Avenged World Tour.
You're goddamn right. Two can play that. People are like, "Are you mad?" No, I'm not mad. I'm happy. Al Michaels is a legend. He and I teamed up for a gangbusters nickname that will live beyond both our days.
All right, that was a Crown Royal water break. Moderate your drinking on game day. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. For more tips on how to crown your game day, visit at Crown Royal on Instagram. Well, we've done it again, guys.
Well,
we got through Monday. We did it. You know what? I called on people to, I said, it's too hard to think of New Year's resolutions, and I have 175 pounds to lose. So that's fine. I'll do that. But I thought maybe we could have
fun with
this. How
much did you gain for real? How much did you really
gain? No, I didn't really gain that much. I just feel sluggish. And what do you mean now? I just, I've not looked worse and I don't feel great. And I told on Simmons last night, I was saying how my kid got the VR, the virtual reality thing for his birthday.
Yeah.
And I put it on because I was seeing that I was there. They were boxing some guy and I boxed and I almost died on New Year's Eve. I couldn't get through 9 minutes because you have to throw punches. You have to throw like it to stay alive. I'm not literally getting punched in the head, but I was, and they're like laughing at me. They're like, oh, dad. And I'm like, I can't quit. This is terrible if I quit. And that midway through the third round, I decided I'm going to give it my all. If I die here on New Year's Eve, so be it. I can't embarrass myself. And I got through it and they weren't even that impressed. And I was leaning over the toilet for the next time.
Jean-Claude Van Damischek fancies that VR thing. Is it cool?
It's pretty cool. It is
better
cool.
than like Should PlayStation 5. If you get one or the other, you would get VR over PlayStation 5.
Well, I think PlayStation 5, you have as far as I know, the VR doesn't, there's only a few games right now that you could do, but it's outside. It's unlike anything else. So
I'm like an old man. I'm like Al Michaels calling it the Maroon 4. I'm like the VR. I think it's just VR, right?
Well, PlayStation 5.
I don't know.
5
None of
is
us
not,
know.
I think it's VR.
I'm too old to know that now.
It's going to kill you, though. It's going to potentially kill you. Potentially kill me.
But getting back, great death.
Getting back to the New Year's resolutions.
Did you hear
I put
about
it out
Cousin
there.
Sal?
Did
you hear about
that
him? It.
That'd be the perfect way for me to go. You guys take over the show.
But if you die in virtual reality, is it a virtual death and then you come back to life?
Oh, maybe. Interesting. I don't think I'd be so lucky.
Makes you think.
You know, nobody, if you die in virtual reality, you die in real life, too. It's a dream. Like the dream state.
Nobody, I didn't see great submissions for us. I mean, people were mean. The extra
Someone
points
Someone went
gang.
On a rant about how you need to get me off the podcast.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Where? On Twitter?
I was drunk.
Yeah. The extra points gang at gmail.com. I asked people to reach out and then I did it on Twitter last night because I didn't like the submissions. I don't know. Some were mean. This one needs to talk less, whatever, but, I didn't get any. So if we want to give it another whirl, otherwise we're on our own, kids. The extra points gang at gmail.com if you want to make up resolutions for me or Charlotte or Dave. But otherwise.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm just not going to resolve anything.
Yeah. We'll give it till March. And then if people can't come up with it, so be it. All right, Dave, big playoff week. You're at Damischek on Twitter.
Yeah, get it off on the right foot. It's time to, I like fun. I like, one of my hobbies is doing stuff I like to do. But it's time to get serious, Steelers fans. The Browns, it's a cute story, but it's time to end it. Savenge. It's upon us now. Get your Savenge t-shirt. And then also, for the fans who didn't make it, like Giants fans, if you're upset and you're swearing, I have the perfect show for you. Starting on Netflix tomorrow, January 5th. The History of Swear Words, starring Nicolas Cage. Make sure you check it out. It's going to be gangbusters.
We're All right.
Can't
it's
going to
be a fun house. One. All right. History of Swear Words, Charlotte.
And, of course, -3. We'll give you all the best bets for that one. We'll dig deep. I suspect we'll get into Steelers-Browns with Jeff Schwartz, Eddie Spaghetti, and myself.
Does the history – we got away from it because there haven't been many examples of it. But the history of swear words, I felt we made a little dent in there. Remember what the – you got to be effing kidding me. We had three athletes in 2 weeks hit it up. Justin Thomas started it, and there was someone online. I don't know. Maybe we weren't represented.
I think we did that. I think we can take credit for swears.
Charlotte, at the Wilder Things.
Yes, sir. At the Wilder Things, wrote about the Browns. I've got some cool stuff coming up this week that I'll fill you in on Wednesday when I know more about it. But I think it'll be pretty cool.
Are you really making a trip?
What?
You going to a football game this weekend, Charlotte?
No.
Oh, you're not going to any games. I saw you. I didn't know if you were kidding or not that you might attend one of those.
No. I joke that the first game between the Giants and the Eagles next year, I will 100% be there.
Yeah. Why the hell not? We should all go. Eddie, you're going too. And there's nothing you could do about it.
Eddie, I'll see you at MetLife.
We're going to that game.
Yeah, listeners, that's your assignment. You didn't do a good job with the resolutions, but we need a good Photoshop of Eddie Spaghetti as Robert De Niro on the payphone outside the diner banging it. You can't do anything about it.
Brother Bri put up, he sent us a funny thing with Eddie Murphy. I don't know, was that from the Raw tour or something, Joel? I don't know what it was. But Eddie Murphy actually saying, fuck you, Eddie Murphy, which is what the Eagles did to our Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, listen, a reminder for all you out there. You may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all our favorites. See you Wednesday.